4341790. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. Yeah, you are my favorite broadcaster. What I want to ask you, there was a problem in Jamaica and India when white people went away from those two countries. Two countries became very poor. Could you explain that to me, please, if you know anything about it?
Jamaica and which one?
India.
India?
India, yeah.
I can't tell you what happened in India. I can't tell you what. The only thing I know about Jamaica, I don't know about white people leaving there. What I know happened in Jamaica was the flight to capital back in the 1970s when it was said that Michael Manley was going too close to Cuba and Jamaica was going to be one of the communist satellites. Same thing that was said about Grenada and also then Nicaragua when the Sandinistas took over. And the opposition then encouraged wealthy Jamaicans to move their money to Miami and brought the economy to its knees and got power. And when they asked them to bring the money back, they asked why, because they were making money in the U.S. off of it. That, I know, has put Jamaica into the neck hold, as in up to now still going through IMF and other changes. And still not being back where it was in the days when the Jamaican dollar at one point was worth more than a U.S. dollar. The problem 9 out of 10 times is when you use political power to break an economy and then you try to mend it back, it never works. It hasn't worked anywhere that we've tried it. Now, I don't know what happened in India, as I said, but the only experience that I can tell you about is the 1970s experience in Jamaica with that situation, with taking capital out and breaking the economy or bringing the economy to its knees. That's the only one I know of. Can't think of another one.
Well, I think we as Belgians should be careful about that right now, especially when the hotels are closed, because it can happen here also. You don't think so?
The problem that we face, ma'am, is one of employment. And not only mass employment. Let me put it as mass employment, because the hotels in Barbados do more than just bring people for the people working in the hotels. The people on the beach, the taxi drivers, the duty-free shops, the attractions, all those depend on the hotel industry. Now, I heard a gentleman, I think he says he's a taxi driver, speaking yesterday to Joanne, and he was talking about open back up the country. The problem with open back up the country is, are there ships traveling? Because there's still ships out in the harbor that have gone nowhere. How many cruise lines, when will they start cruising again? How many planes are flying, and where are the people coming from? And what are the challenges with getting travel back up to the point where it would begin to employ your people in the hotels again? Which is why the government has been trying to get projects off the ground so that in this period, people will be able to get jobs in construction, people will be able to get jobs doing other things, so that when travel starts back up and the hotels then start re-employing people, you then have the generation of foreign exchange that would come from it. The challenge, however, remains what to do with the hotel worker who right now is not a carpenter, is not a mason, is not a dressmaker, is not a hairdresser. There is nothing you could give them to do in the interim. And that's why they've set up all these various opportunities for people to try to get money to tide them over. It's not going to last forever. It's going to be an expensive exercise. The thing is, they have to get it back up and running. How long it takes, I can't tell you.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
Some of them, when they have work to do, they don't even care to do it. No, they're home. Just to be able to enjoy it and be understanding of what is going on. I understand that it's not easy for any of us. But I wish all of them the best, and I hope that we will not run the people with money from Barbados. That is my only hope right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you as well, ma'am. Brass Tacks, good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you can hear me, sir?
Clearly.
Yes, my brother, how are you?
I am fine. How are you, ma'am?
Yeah, in response to the question that I was asked about an ND, I think the lady called.
Why the MTW was not doing tests?
Yeah. I don't know why they haven't started back tests yet, but for sure, you know, they haven't started. But I hope she didn't get mixed up with the statement or the advice the person gave her. I believe the person should have told her, listen for there will be an announcement on GIS pertaining to when they will start
open back.
I would hope that the person didn't tell them going to listen to GIS. Because, you know, sometimes we hear things, but we hear it wrong. But I believe the advice should have been that. If possible, pay attention to GIS and it would be announced then, because they themselves, whom she would have spoken to, would not be able to tell her for sure that it's going to start next week or week after. That's something that has to be done by whatever, somebody in authority. The other thing about what she said about the amount of money that they are losing, I can agree with that because the government want money. A few weeks ago, I made a statement about that in something on Facebook, and some people didn't like it because it is exactly what she's saying. If you do 50 tests each day, that is $5,000. For 5 days, that is how much? That's $25,000?
About that.
You can't add up to good. So even if you only do 30 tests or 40 tests, you're somewhere between $20,000 and $25,000 a day. If you multiply that $25,000 a day for about 3 weeks or 5, 10, 15, 20, you see how much money the government could be making. And the longer that they do tests, the more backup you're going to get. If you make statements or you say things, people tend to, it then again, according to who say it. I spoke about it. I just made mention of it just to point out to those who might very well be in the know to see that people are looking at these things and the government want money. She come and said it this morning. I heard it two or three times on another calling program, on another station. And now I'm asked the question, why aren't they starting back? She can't answer that. If ever a student asked me that question or somebody asked me, I said they can't answer. We got to be waiting for the person in authority. Right, Arun?
Well, sir, the only thing I can tell you is that they will open it when they think it's safe to do it. What protocols, simple. What safety that's measures only, they would like to have, I can't help you with that. But I could only assume is they will open it when they think it's safe to do so.
But what I want just to clarify is that I would hope that she did not run with the wrong thing.
I got that part. I got that part.
That she heard that the person tell him, check with the GIS.
GIS.
Time that GIS would be bringing the appropriate information. Because it sounded good, but because she said she called GIS to find out and they have no information and they sent her back, before her back to NTW.
Mm-hmm.
So we just hope that she keep her ears open and listen to VOB because that's the station that's bringing all the news. Have a good one, brother.
You too, man. Take care. 434-1790, Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Hi, Dennis. You can hear me?
I can hear you clearly, sir.
Yes, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was speaking, I want to talk about the PSVs.
Mm-hmm.
I see the Transport Authority get approval of an act that they had there, but discipline the
three strikes and you're out. Yeah.
Correct. I'm all for that there. I called many times and spoke about that there. You know how many times ago, but it's a good to want here come out. Okay, the next thing I'm about is for the passengers to be dealt with. You see me how the owners and the drivers have laws, in that thing, there are some for the passengers. And nothing's getting dealt with the passengers. So I hope that the persons in charge are listening, if they are willing to make the drivers, the conductors, and owners pay for bad behavior and indiscipline, I hope they are willing to make the passengers pay for the same thing as well.
What do you think what do the passengers do that you want corrected? Let me ask it that way.
Their litter.
Mm-hmm.
I used the word litter, because we're on the radio, right?
Yeah, yeah,
the litter, they damage the people, they damage the van property.
Mm-hmm.
They even refuses to pay. Right? And they even, okay, they even get into fights with the workers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they know that if a worker tells them, man, you can't put your foot up there, you can't stand up there, they could get out or trust something any worker mm-hmm. and go along.
How do you prove that that person was in your van? That's what I was about to ask you. You and me. That's what I was going to ask you. How do you identify the person? How do you say this man is the man that was on my van and this is what he did?
Right. You don't. Right. When you go into police, I'm speaking from experience. When you go into the police station, the police ask you, you know your body look like? Yeah. You know your body name? No. You know part of the lift? No. Nothing comes out of it. Right.
And that's the challenge that I see. That's why I asked the question, because the first thing that came to mind when you were talking was, how do you identify the person who caused the disturbance unless it happens in the presence of a police officer? Because as someone, as you say, you know, you've lived this experience. I've only seen pictures. Fortunately, I've not been on a bus when it has happened. But I've seen pictures of people climbing through windows and jumping out of windows. And I know it can be difficult for you to say who jumped in or out of a window. I remember when the vans used to turn around out here in front of, Rediffusion we were then, in front of Starcom. Yeah. I remember telling a minibus owner, because he used to be a moderator on the program, that I saw one of his buses rocking the cradle and, you know, the students from a certain school pounding on the side. And he told me, that's not true. I spoke to my driver nowhere near River Road. And I got the guy who worked with our online department then to come outside with his camera, because he was an avid cameraman. He still is.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't work with us anymore, but his camera work is fantastic. And he took pictures of the buses when they came down the road, one behind the other, zigzagging across the road, and, you know, with the students punging on the back. He took the pictures. Mm-hmm. And I presented it to the guy, and he told me, well, I can't believe this, because I talk to my drivers all the time, and they tell me no. I said, well, there's the bus, there's the picture, there's the number. And there you got the color uniform of the students. He tell me, but I still don't know who they are. You see, so that's why I asked you the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is dangerous, and I agree that the process of discipline has to be everybody. Because if people don't stop you, then you ain't gonna stop. And if you don't stop, and so on and so on and so on. Can it be fixed?
Right now, I know a guy, he has a case in court. A lady get on, a female get on his van, a young lady,
mm-hmm.
and try to destroy the door, right? I then refuses to pay.
Mm-hmm.
You got to let the public knows that when you enter any PSV, you're supposed to pay. Not pay when you get by your destination. Quite don't happen. Couple say, man, I pay when they get out. Then when you get your destination, your body run and go along. My body won't go along. Man, you can't come do that there for me. You know what I mean? All those things happen. Yeah.
Right? The thing about throwing missiles out of the bus, though, is something that I know is a problem. But I also know that if you drive in, you ain't gonna see you throw the thing out the window anyway.
Correct.
But you're gonna get stopped. Because it come out of your bus.
Eating in the van. I remember time I was cleaning my feet, and I find a whole snack bar. I go on the back, I find a roti. Then you will tell somebody that eating a snow cone, just put more tissue on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hold it properly, they're gonna curse you. You know what I mean? All these things is bad. You see me how the driver and the owner can get disciplined. These pastors should get disciplined. You see me here.
Well, I hope you can find a way to do it, sir, because until you can find a way to say who's doing it, you're gonna you're gonna carry the blame for it. But I know the destruction of seats, the writing of graffiti, writing up on the roof, and some of the bad behavior goes on. I'm aware of some of it. So work with them. Bit by bit, we might get curbed eventually. Don't know when yet, but step by step. Good call from you. Thanks. I got a message from someone said that my job is supposed to inform people why they did not inform the lady about the laws. Because I couldn't. Short answer. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Brother Nasser, how are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you and the family?
They're doing well, and you?
I'm good. I'm good too, man. Listen, have you ever heard me yet say anything negative about Indians and Barbados?
Brother Nasser, let me put it to you this way, right? I can't tell you what people hear. I know what I hear, I know the discussions we have, and I know that whenever I am here and you call, everybody seems to think that there's some conspiracy, that you and I sit down and plan these calls and all the rest of it. So, you know, my thing is, you will say what you want to say, people will hear what they want to hear.
And that's my right.
And, sir, it is absolutely your right. It is also your right to say, you know what?
People
like
to attack if they want to.
No, I don't like it to get to that, because to tell you the truth, I don't think this going backwards and forwards. For example, while you were on yesterday having a fairly lengthy conversation with Joanne, the lady who had the call before, who raised issue, who had issue with what you did, called in and wanted to join you on the line, but unfortunately, sitting up in the booth, I couldn't merge calls,
anyway.
So I just let go of that.
No, but Mr. Johnson, I want to answer a question, though, because I want to show a point to my people. Have you ever heard me attack Indians in this country yet, or say the dishonest or anything?
No,
or
sir, I have not heard it. Right, no, good. I have not heard it.
Right, good. You know why I don't have to do that? Because we black people must learn how the Indians function. The Indians will go into any place in the world and be successful, because an Indian is an Indian. And they do not do anybody anything. All they do is mobilize their resources, support their own, and they become very successful. All I am saying, hello? Hello?
So I'm listening to you?
Yeah. All I am saying to black people in Barbados, that they must do the same. And then they do it definitely. So I can read something here quick as I explain a few things to you. In my experience, poor people are the world's greatest entrepreneurs. Every day they must innovate in order to survive. They remain poor because they do not have the opportunity to turn their creativity into substantial income because they don't have any money. The point is that the rich amongst the black people in this country must start mobilizing some of their resources to help the people. You were talking today to a gentleman who was talking very good, but I listened to all of them. When I was 40 years old, all these fellas were not born. So therefore, if they're 40 now, you understand how old I am. But this is what I'm saying. The truth is that in 1976, the late Tom Adams asked me to run for him in the city against a fellow named St. Hill. And I said, I am not running for you. I know Tom Adams is not a white man, but he's not running for a white man. This is in 1976. He then sent Lionel Craig and tried to tell me he announced me tomorrow as a candidate for the city. I tell him, don't do that, because I would embarrass him. Then that's how Billy Miller ran in the city before me, My life always in this country is to look at my people and find out what's the best way I can get them to move forward. Mr. Johnson, there is no white human being in the world that has wealth. They might not have done the wrongs that the ancestors do, but they inherit the wealth from the wrongs that the ancestors do. All I'm saying to people in Barbados is very simple, We need equal opportunities. And each time we fight for these opportunities, we are called all kinds of foolish names. We had Mandela. We tried to name a park called Mandela up there where I had the island. We would make the island, this is my island, his son, Farley Hill. And one white man called, and 90% of black people jellyfish and refused to name the park Mandela. We got to stop this foolishness. This Nelson thing on the top of Nelson, why don't put Aaron Barter there or put Sir Grantley Adams there? Hey, with feedback as a tourist, come in and take a picture with the first prime minister who laid the foundation for this country, than take a picture with Nelson. For that matter. So, all I'm saying to Barbadian people, we as black people don't have to hate, but we have to agitate. And once you agitate, it's going to look like violation, and you cannot back down. There is no future in this country for black people if they don't start mobilizing the resources and working like the Indians right now. That is why I never attack Indians, because they don't do anything but work in their own interest. And I can tell you this for the last thing. A banker told me already that the reason why he will lend any Indian that come in this place money is that if an Indian come and borrow money from the bank and the Indian cannot pay it, you could guarantee that the Indian community will get together and pay it for him. Now, I'm not telling you that we're going to go over there and take our money and give it to people who do foolishness. But I am saying that it's time enough that we mobilize our economic resources and start working towards the development of our people. And there are two major supermarkets in this country, and I love those, that family of both of them. They have been able to take people in that came in the place to work and turn those women into very successful women because they're married to their children. That's all I'm saying. You cannot, Mr. Johnson, expect your children, and you know I'm not saying anything negative about you, it could be then, do not expect to raise our children and then they will have affairs with each other. They are not going to, they're going to go in other families. So you must work, we must work towards the development of other families so that when the linkage comes, that everybody ain't hungry. That's all I'm saying.
Sir, and I have supported you on that call over and over and over, and I will continue to support you on that call because it is something I believe in. So it is unfortunate, and I will say again, it is unfortunate that we hear what we hear in the manner in which we hear it. I have tried my best, and I've reached the stage where I don't have the strength anymore to do it. That's the truth. My disappointments have overcome my enthusiasm. I put in that clear on the table. I remember sitting at the microphone in Studio 3 doing a Brass Tacks program. And a caller, a regular female caller at the time, said to me that Barbados needs to expand its gene pool, but not with people like me, so with people from Canada, the United States, and various parts of Europe, because they're better suited to Barbadian people than people like me, so. Unfortunately for her, I had already expanded the gene pool on a few occasions, so I couldn't take them back. But that's the way people feel. I can't change that impression that people have, okay? So there are people who feel that way about their own people. There are people who will tell their children, don't associate with A, B, or C. You need to lift your color. You need to improve your status. You need to smoothen out your skin and straighten out your hair. So look there for it. That's inferiority complex, sir. That can't be changed by me preaching or you preaching. I have come to that conclusion. That is inferiority complex bred by whatever it's bred by. The lady who asked me the question that people keep saying that I should have explained, because I got another one saying so again. I try to explain to people who will listen. I try to engage those who will hear. But there comes a time when you say, it doesn't make sense. Because people will hear what they want to hear, they'll believe what they want to believe. And someone else will take up the fight because there are other people there who will have their own feelings. I don't feel inferior to anybody, but I don't feel superior to anybody either. The only person I have a problem with is me. And I get told I'm arrogant. Yeah, I could deal with that. I think a lot of myself, I could deal with that too. But those statements are made because you can't find another place to punch and say go back to your level. And that's what we do to ourselves. It's not done by anybody else. If you go to somebody feeling weak, they will stamp on you because you go to them feeling weak. If you stand up to them face to face, I saw a picture online of a protest in the United States that a man came at her screaming and shouting. She was mixed race. And she's a lot shorter than him. And she said she stared at him because her father said to her, no matter where the hatred comes from, no matter who it comes from, look them in the eye so that they know you are human. The problem is when people look you in the eye and don't see you as human. They see you as them people so. That's the problem. And that's not going to change in a hurry. Because there are people who are taught to look at you as them people so. The WhatsApp message says, I'm not condemning what the caller says, but there are two sides to it. Do not focus on one side, bring both. You not only bring the bad, bring the good. It may be naturally he's bringing the view since he's a worker. On the other hand, the passenger may bring a view from their angle too. Both sides need to improve, operators and passengers. That's why Len talks. So we hear from the public all the time about the bad behavior of PSVs. Here we have an operator saying we have issues too. So I let him bring it to the public. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. Earlier you had a lady there who I think she was talking about Barbados being controlled by the laws
from England. Yeah.
Oh yeah, years ago. I am sure that comment arose out of your Sunday discussion. Now, there was one of your wise men on Sunday made the point that every decision here has to be approved by the, made in Barbados, sorry, has to be approved by the Queen. I was shocked that the moderator didn't correct him. But I couldn't imagine somebody in 2020 would have made that statement.
I heard it say I was a producer.
Yeah, you were the producer. I know, but you were not the moderator.
I said I heard it because I was a producer.
Right, I know you would have corrected him. Because I was surprised that he would have made that comment. You know, because, I guess that's why the moderator can't come in at times and correct people who are talking nonsense. You see, because even as Mr. Johnson, even the country where she's supposed to be the queen, she does not, I would say, make the decisions. She reigns, but she, according to the British Constitution, the Queen reigns, but she does not rule.
Rule.
The government makes the decision, but yes, she signs, I just say Governor General, the signatures on the laws.
And they cut her funding, and they could cut her funding too if they want to.
That's right. And the next thing is, don't forget, they took away the Royal Yacht Britannia, Tony Blair's government.
Because they own it. Because they own it. They were supporting it, so I guess they could put. Look, let me say, this question of the Governor General being the representative of Her Majesty the Queen and having to assent to our laws is one of the peculiarities of our democratic system that, again, education is what will change it. I think we've been educated about the civics and the way we operate sometimes in the wrong way. The language that was used sometimes, you know. For example, people associate republicanism with dictatorships.
That's right.
Right? And when you try to point out to them that they are republics, that the Queen is still the head of state, they don't get it. For example, you could tell them, look, Trinidad has a president, Ghana has a president, Dominica has a president, but they're three different types of presidents. One, you know, one is a executive president,
that's
the other
right.
one is a figurehead, just as the governor general is.
That's
they just
right.
carry a different name.
Right.
So though that comes from education, but there are people who don't get, they just, you know, stick certain names with certain things. So when you hear republic, they say, well, republics are run by dictators and this is what they do. Was the United States not a republic? Bad example, perhaps. Yes, sir.
What you're saying is so true. Some years ago, back maybe, I was walking by the bus stand, a friend and I were walking by the bus stand.
Mm-hmm.
And so some guys were talking, and one fella said, man, if I were Mr. Barrow, man, it would be clear Barbados would be public and lock at the opposition.
There you go. Yeah, but and you see, and this is, look, the truth is that there's still people in the Caribbean who feel that way about the leaders.
Of course. I think
and it has nothing to do with whether a Republican or not. I mean, for example, Granville Williams II, when I was talking about Government House and the maintenance of Government House and, you know, the symbolism of a Government House and a Governor General, said to me, we need the Governor Generals so that, you know, if things happen, like happen in Grenada, you have someone who can take charge and do that. And, you know, I smiled, but it's one of the things that I really don't believe in either. But, you know, it's a belief that's there.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that I think that perception about Republic has its genesis in, I guess, in Latin America. Remember, in fact, back in the 60s when I was a schoolboy, I remember there would just be a coup in Latin America every day. I mean, you know, dictators ruled Latin America all up till about the 70s and so on. You remember?
Man, they so like it.
People felt that. And all those countries were republics.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is where the perception came from.
I think so too.
Another matter, on this issue about race, Mr. Nasser was talking about people, the Indians helping each other and so on. I think that people who don't socialize with people don't really know very much about them.
That's true.
I think the reason why people have the perception of other races is because we socialize. If you're black, you socialize in the black community. If you're white, you socialize in the white community. If you're Indian, you socialize in the Indian community.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell him no, that a dear Indian friend of mine told me, who said they never used to do business with their own kind. I'm not going to tell you what she said about why she didn't do it. I could tell you that. And in fact, not only one, more than one of them told me this.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell you that. So, I mean, this nonsense that people talk about, oh, if you're this color and the next color and so on, they're all two are the same.
Let me say this to you. in Trinidad and Tobago, where I spent some of my formative years, the line separating Muslims and Hindus are just as carefully drawn as the lines separating blacks from Muslims, from Hindus, from anybody, any other race. There are divisions between them. There are even divisions between Uptong and Dongtong Muslims. The lines that we don't see, because we see everybody with the same hair and the same color skin and we figure they all alike,
right,
exist in every single society.
Of course.
I say the United States is stratified and people get upset and tell me, you know, I'm anti-America number two, the Indians in India, and I'm using Indian as in India, the continent, they have their stratification, they have their differences in caste and color and, you know, wealth, just as any other nation. As a matter of fact, in Barbados, we have a habit of calling everyone with straight hair and complexion Indians. Try calling a Pakistani an Indian and see what happens. Because they don't see themselves as Indians, they're Pakistanis. Sri Lanka too, you know, but we call all of them Indian.
But Mr. Johnson, you would know. I was told by an not a person, not a Muslim, nor a Hindu, but that person changed religion. But that Muslims don't like Hindus. They don't mix.
I know that, sir.
You would know that, man. I do, for you.
I live in Trinidad. I know that.
Right. That's what I'm told. They just don't like each other. You'll never see them associate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? And I think the Hindus tend to look down Muslims.
Well, the problem there, sir, stems from two things. When I lived in Trinidad, the reason for the divisions that I found was that they thought that the governmental structure, which was kind of true, favored the Muslims as opposed to the Hindus. Eric Williams, when he was the prime minister, had a Muslim as a deputy prime minister, a Tobagonian as a deputy prime minister, a black Tobagonian as the deputy prime minister, and let's call him a Portuguese descendant as a deputy. He had three deputies, one from each class, except the Hindus. They did not have the same educational opportunities. The schools built in the Hindu areas were built by religious groups as opposed to the government. They had to travel long distances The government did not recognize Hindu marriages. They did not allow succession of property. So they felt marginalized. So the oppositions in Trinidad usually were Hindu-based organizations. And that was political. And the whole division you see existing even today, when you look at the political parties there, Hindus on one side, Muslims on another side. They don't support the same political organization. And it further divides that country that claims here every creed and race find an equal place. The one I found really interesting was when the Chinese descendants in Trinidad, the second and third generation Chinese, objected to the newcomer Chinese who came with the Chinese construction companies and set up the same Chinese shops and groceries and laundries that they operate in, and say, these Chinese people taking over, said by Chinese. And I went, okay then, so much for blacks don't like blacks. This is down to brass tacks. 434-1790-266-4862. Brass tacks at StarCallNetwork.net. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good
morning, ma'am.
Yeah, I have two questions for you. Mm-hmm. One, do you think that the Caribbean region would achieve its goals and objective among its Caribbean people? Two, why is it that the black generation who may happen to have a business and there's no continuity in that kind of business, but yet still the white people and the Indians do have continuity, right? And what do you say to your children when they grow up and reach a stage where they're supposed to finish school, etc., and have to work? What do you tell them?
Let me start at the beginning. The first question you asked me about the Caribbean fulfilling one?
Goals.
What are those? Do we know? Have we identified what our goals and objectives are as the Caribbean?
Well, they're trying with the Federation and the AWR. They're not trying with CARICOM, etc. You know what I mean?
But what is the objective?
And
do you know?
To bring the people together, okay, as one brother. But let's face reality, we have brothers and sisters all over the Caribbean. I don't know about you, but I have Trinidadian family and I have Grenadian family. You understand? But I'm a Barbadian. I born here. You understand?
Does that make you different from them?
My great grandfather came from Scotland, but I am a Caribbean person. You understand? So, you know what gets me really mad? When people tell people, oh, you come here by the banana boat. But this was them people, right? But them people is coming here and sell the yama potato, build the houses here, some, and some will take the money and send it back to the country and go back home, right? And I would like them to change their attitude towards one another.
All right. On the other one, what do I tell my children? I tell my children, be the best that you can be. Do what makes you happy and the money will come. Maybe the wrong thing to tell children, but that's what I said to them. Because that's what I've done with my life. I've done the best that I could do. I've done anything that I think is within my capability. I've been paid for it. I've had a good time doing it. And I've survived.
Mm-hmm. That is very good. My father taught me, right? I want you to go to school to learn because the government say you got to go to school to learn. But at the end of the day, right, I want you to work in the business, right? Because when you take your labor and give to other people, they get the profits, right? You don't hardly get anything. You don't get a profit sharing or nothing like that. You understand? And it is not an easy road to travel. Because I grew up in a business. I see what it's like. And I foolish me that I work in a sector which I regret every moment in time that I even went there. Right?
What's bad about it?
Yeah.
You didn't enjoy it?
Well, the thing about her is there was a lot of frustration among the black people, you see. And if I had stayed and do what my father said I was supposed to do, I think I would be better off. Because the thing about her is I would have got my own business.
Ah, you see, and that's the... that I was going to ask you, I heard the music in the background, but I was trying to ask you how old you were when you started following or not following your father. Because one of the things I've noticed, again, from my life in Trinidad and even in Grenada to some extent, you see young children and even the older ones sometimes working in different jobs, coming to help the family business on weekends and being a part of it from a very early age, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's missing because, you know, some people tell their children, stay at home, study. I don't want you doing what I just do. I want you to have it easier than I had it. And make it seem that what they do is not worthwhile. And to me, that's the biggest mistake that we make. I wanted to be a broadcaster. That's all I ever wanted to be. My father told me, that ain't a job. Nobody gonna pay you to do that. Go and get a job. Go work somewhere else. And he came back to bite me when a lady I was married to saw me busting my brain about trying to put a program together and said to me, one day you're gonna get a job and you know what stress is. And I wept. This is Dr. Brass Tacks.